Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to How I Built This early and ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Today's business travelers are finding that fitting in a little leisure time keeps them recharged and excited on work trips. I know this because whenever I travel for work, I always try and meet up with a friend to catch up, have a great dinner, or hit a museum wherever I am. So if you're traveling for work, go with the card that puts the travel in business travel, the Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card. If you travel, you know. C4 Smart Energy is a proud sponsor of How I Built This. It's harder to focus than ever these days. Thankfully, C4 has reinvented the energy drink game with C4 Smart Energy, the only energy drink clinically proven to provide enhanced mental focus, containing 200 milligrams of natural caffeine, a blend of vitamins, and zero sugar. It was formulated to support your well-being and help you feel your best, all while enhancing mental focus. They taste great and they really work, especially after hours of interviews when I'm mentally exhausted and I need a boost to help me get my focus back. From your brain to your body, C4 Smart Energy does it all and tastes amazing. Pick up a case of Smart Energy today at Costco. C4 Smart Energy. Stay focused. This show is brought to you by Schwab. You're here because you like to keep a pulse on trends in technology. Well, now you can invest in what's trending in artificial intelligence, big data, robotic revolution, and more with Schwab Investing Themes. It's an easy way to invest in ideas you believe in. Schwab's research process uncovers emerging trends, then their technology curates relevant stocks into themes. Choose from over 40 themes. Buy all the stocks in a theme as is or customize to better fit your investing goals, all in a few clicks. Schwab Investing Themes is not intended to be investment advice or a recommendation of any stock or investment strategy. Learn more at schwab.com/thematic investing. Hey, so for the past few weeks, I've been asking you to consider a donation to your public radio station, and the idea behind it isn't just to ask for money, but to ask for your support, because public radio stations depend on your contributions, and it's how they can broadcast news programs and shows like this one on their airwaves. So if you can, please consider donating by going to donate.npr.org/built. And thanks. Hey, it's Guy here. So today we're releasing another live interview from this year's How I Built This Summit, which happened this past October in San Francisco. And this one's my conversation with Kevin Systrom and Mike Krieger, the co-founders of Instagram. And if you haven't heard their original podcast episode, you should definitely go back and give it a listen. In that episode, they talk about how they kind of stumbled on the idea of using filters for photo sharing, and how in just 2 years, they got nearly 30 million followers and then sold to Facebook for $1 billion. They spent 6 more years there, and then both of them stepped down in 2018. And so when we sat down together at the summit, here's the question I was thinking of. After you launch one of the most successful apps in the world, what do you do next? Let's talk about the last year. It's been about a year since you left. Has it been a little bit weird? I mean, because you had this staff and this team and this company and you were coming into work every day, and then there's a day where you don't do that.
Yeah, I think the first readjustment is all of a sudden, like, you do have a weight off your shoulders because, like, the site isn't down. There isn't a decision to be made every single second, and you're able to sort of step back and reflect. But what you touched on is really true as well, which is, one, you miss the people you work with, right? Like, that's a thing that is really notable as well. But also, your leverage is totally gone. So if we have an idea now or we want to get something done, like, we go and do it by ourselves, which is also an exciting, like, you know, hands-on kind of moment as well. But that's, I think, the most notable sort of, oh, well, okay, now we're in a different place now.
Yeah.
I think if you look at companies that have been around now for a while in Silicon Valley, you run it and there are people running it, and you look around and, like, there's this system that supports everything. It just goes every day. You've got your monthly check-ins, you've got your weekly staff meetings, and you just know what your schedule is going to be. And everything has this enormous momentum or inertia. I don't know which one is which, but you know what I mean. It's got a lot. And And then you get out of it, and you realize that life no longer has that inertia or that momentum. We'll look this up later. And but what you realize is like, oh my God, I have to be a beginner again. And that's thrilling. It's both, it can be scary, depending on like your personality type. It can be either terrifying or it can be thrilling. And I decided I was going to learn to fly. That was going to be my thing when I left work. I wanted to take like a few months, which it turns out is not enough time to learn to fly. I did it though. We can get into that. So I took a few months and I said I wanted to learn to fly. And I was so frustrated by the fact that I like sucked. Like, I just sucked. It's like at work, I knew exactly what I needed to do. And I mean, it's not that I was great at it all the time, but like, I knew what to do. But like, when you do something new for the first time, you're like, wait, I have to like read a book again. I have to like go through all this. And it was thrilling to know that life is going to be full of a lot of these chapters if we do it right. That you're going to be a beginner over and over and over again. And what's great is if you're a beginner and you have a partner while you're a beginner, because then when you make a mistake, you know, someone can pick you up from it and be like, yeah, that was a mistake, but let's keep going.
You know, I remember you telling this sort of the origin story of Instagram. It started as Bourbon, as a check-in app, and then I think your girlfriend then, now wife, was, you know, you were on vacation and you took the photo, and then this sort of light bulb moment where you guys thought, well, maybe this is the thing it should be. And you built it into this huge platform, and your identities were so wrapped into it, right? And we've had stories of the show where founders have sold their companies, or David Neeleman was pushed out of JetBlue. He was here earlier today. It's hard. I mean, even if you're paid well and you get the payout, it's a thing that you made. It's yours. Is a part of it, a part of that hard?
I thought about this a ton in like, say, like the year before our departure. You start thinking about, I used to tell the team very openly, like every year, you know, I would sit down and like sort of recommit to Instagram and say like, am I still learning? Is this still exciting? Yeah. Do I still feel like I can have impact? Or is it time for the next chapter? And the question that I would often get from friends would be like, aren't you worried like you're not like going to be important after Instagram? Like in not so many words, but basically asking that question. And you realize a couple of things. One is, the legacy lives on, and like the fact that I get to use the product and people still come up to me and are like, oh, you built this, is awesome. And I realized like I'd gotten attached to being co-founder and CTO, and I will always get to be co-founder, and that feels really good in starting conversations and having people be excited about something that we built. So I think that part of the identity feels solid. And the other part is you kind of realize like who's excited to spend time with you for, you know, what you've built and what you're interested in, and the people who just wanted to get verified or whatever they are, like whatever request that they had. So kind of
half
like
these people just got really disappointed.
I know. Judging from my Instagram direct inbox, people have not gotten the message that we've left. But you know, it's that transition moment was actually like you're jumping off the cliff's edge and you're trusting that like there's something on the other side that will feel really good. But I was also kind of scared of like waking up and everybody's like, oh yeah, you're not important anymore. You're not there.
Kevin, you were quoted at the time last year. You said you don't leave a job because everything is awesome, right? And I'm curious, why? Why'd you leave?
Because, you know, you don't leave because everything's awesome. I'm reflecting on that line. Okay, so a couple of things. One is we sold the company in 2012.
Yeah.
And everyone thought that we were done. Like, I remember seeing people on the street and they were like, what are you up to now? I was like, running Instagram? And they're like, why? You sold the company. And I was like, yeah, but like, we really love it. Here's what most people don't realize. Once you sell a company, like, if you still love it, you still want to run it. So it was 6 years of grinding to get this thing off the ground. You know, we sold it and it was how many million users? Maybe 30 or 40 million users. And we got it to over a billion.
Yeah.
It took lots of time. And that is like, so I was just in Hawaii the other day. I guess this is what you do when you don't have a job. but I'm standing there on the side of the road. I was on the Big Island, and I'm watching the Iron Man happen. And these throngs of people are coming by on their bikes and their wetsuits and everything and their speedy bikes. And And they have to bike, I don't even know how many miles. I think it's like over 100 miles. And then they have to do a marathon. And then they have to do a swim. Or I guess it's swim, bike, run. So yeah. I got the order wrong. But that's what Instagram's like, but in business. And you get to the end, the proverbial end, and you say to yourself, wow, we've been through a lot. But do I want to go more? No. I'm done. I just did a marathon. And I just did 100 whatever miles. That's why I think we ended up leaving, because you want a little break and recovery time. And then my personality is such that I'm excited about doing something new. Like I'm just like, I'm always on to some new idea, and I don't know, it probably won't be as big as Instagram, but it'll be just as exciting to me. And that's why you end up leaving. Not just because of the bad stuff, but because it's really hard and you need this regeneration time to do something new.
There was a really interesting quote in Wired about the two of you. It basically said, social media properties can be like nightclubs. They're cool while the cool people are there, and they disappear without leaving a trace. Kevin and Mike are smart enough and cool enough to know you should never be the last person to leave the party. Now, essentially, what this article was saying is that you sort of saw the social media landscape, and maybe you thought, you know, this isn't really what we signed up for. Is there any truth to that?
That was not a big factor for me. Like, I think, in fact, like, it was weighing on me in the opposite direction. Like, I remember when, early last year, so before we were really thinking seriously about leaving, I sat down with some folks and they're like, I hope you stay for a long time, because I can tell you really care about kindness. You really care about building a positive network. Like, and we really need that. So please stay, which added this like whole guilt factor for me for the next, few months as we started thinking about leaving. So I saw it less like, you know, the tide is changing, therefore it's time for us to leave. And in fact, it was like the other side, like, oh, like maybe, not to sound conceited, but like maybe this is when we could be most needed. And that was definitely like a factor that I weighed when thinking about the departure.
There's absolutely a moment in time right now, a reckoning for social media, a reckoning for tech, right? And because we've discovered all these amazing tools like machine learning, and we can scale these sites to over 1 billion people. Like, when's the last time a company was able to touch over 2 billion people every month? Like, it's unprecedented. So now that we're really good at learning because of data, we're really good at learning because of machine learning, and we can touch so many people, you start to ask yourself, like, what is the responsibility of this company, any company with that power? It doesn't matter which company, and there are many of them. Mm. How do they act going forward? What things are allowed, what things aren't allowed? And I agree with Mike that it wasn't a factor in leaving, but it was certainly the most interesting thing that I think we were facing towards the end, which was like, what is our responsibility as co-founders of this thing in the world? You know, I have a young daughter, and one of the reasons why we decided to focus on kindness as a big theme at Instagram and our community was because we realized, like, what legacy did we want to leave in the world?
Yeah.
So if anything, it had the opposite effect. This reckoning of tech was like something that made us want to stay even longer to participate and make it great. Because I think these things can go one of two ways. They either implode under their own weight, or you have great leaders who care deeply about their mission and think that the thing that they created in the world can be this amazing force for good, and you can make that happen.
Just out of curiosity, do you use Instagram?
Yeah, every day.
You use it every day?
Absolutely. I was in the green room and I was
Instagramming.
Yeah.
Do you think in general social media is right now a force for kindness?
Is social media in general a force for kindness? No. Are there leaders and teams within social media who are doing their best to make it a force for kindness? Absolutely. I mean, one of the most interesting technical projects Mike and I ever worked on was this machine learned filter for bullying. Basically, like, okay, you all have spam filters in your inboxes and everything, and that keeps spam generally from reaching you. But like, what if you could train that on bullying? And what if you could actually keep young children online from having that experience, right, with someone else? That's like one little project that we were working on that turned out to do very, very well. But like, think about all the projects you can do when you control a platform of that scale to keep people safe and to encourage kindness. I absolutely think that there are people working very, very hard on that. At large, social media, I think it's very difficult to control how kind it can be because of how massive it is.
Sure. Was there any way to anticipate that when you guys were sitting in, at Stanford and when you met there?
You're lucky early on because the community self-selects for people that are excited about something new. It's rare to get like a troll is one of your first 100. You're very unlucky if like some jerk joins in your first, 100 users. And but as we grew, all of a sudden you go beyond friends and family to friends of friends of friends. And, I distinctly remember the first person that we ever had a problem with on Instagram. I think we were like a month in or even less than that. And it was somebody who had been stalked by another person. And they're like, hey, can you please build a block feature? Like, we didn't launch with a block feature because we didn't need it at the beginning or didn't think we needed it. And they're like, I don't want this guy on my Instagram. And we're like, oh yeah, that makes sense. And I think we had that out in like 2 or 3 days. It was amazing. Like back in the early days, like building something is like pretty easy to do. And we launched it. And over time, you start adding these safeguards in, whether that's like being able to mute comments. And in some ways, that means you're on, more of a reactive side. But I think it's also just the reality that as like every order of magnitude you scale to, I think it introduces a new set of problems. Like all these different sort of things happen. I think what's important is like when you do react, like you don't build things, you don't try to solve it for the exact problem you have. So for example, we at first wanted to put a roadblock for negative self-harm hashtags. So if you go to a hashtag that was either disgusting or promoting or, sort of touching upon self-harm, we would talk about like, this is how you can get in touch with National Crisis Center. And what we found, you do the simple thing and you just implement it based on words, but you realize they start like slightly altering it. So over time, we actually had to use machine learning to say, oh no, it's this whole cluster of tags that we should put this protection around. So not sitting on your laurels or saying, I fixed the problem, like this will never be a problem again, but having the humility to realize that the community evolves every single day.
I'm curious, I sort of hesitate to ask this question because it's sort of an irritating question. I'm sure you get a version of this question a lot, but I'm curious. Both of you built this incredible...
Do you want to take a selfie? Was that the question?
Yeah. Can we take a selfie? We should do that. Okay. After. You built
Sorry,
this...
Sorry, you were saying. Yeah. The question we don't want to hear.
You built this incredible company and brand and have this amazing legacy connected to it. Both of you obviously are, financially secure beyond your wildest dreams and beyond for possibly generations. There's a lot you can do. I know that probably both of you wanted to take some time to just reflect and just kind of get out of the day-to-day grind. And you probably had assistants and people who were always, needed your time. And there was, team meetings. And now, all of a sudden you go from 100 miles an hour to like 5 miles an hour, right? Are you starting to think about the next chapter? And what does that look like for you, Mike?
I think the first chapter of the next chapter, if you will, was me trying to be way too strategic. You're like, I did this thing. It had impact. Like I had this whole company around it. I need to go through and like do a chart and like maybe like a matrix around like areas of impact and ideas. And somebody actually said to Kevin recently something that really resonated with me as well, which is, did you put that much work into starting Instagram? Like, were you super strategic and thoughtful? And like, no, we were interested in helping people tell their stories. We loved photography. I was excited about iPhone development. It was like 2009. It was like all these things were much more like inner sources of joy and excitement and interest and learning. And I think it took probably 6 or 7 months for me to let go of the idea that I had to be, perfectly aimed in terms of the next direction, to instead reconnect with what was true early on, which is like, I love learning, I love hard technical problems, and I love working with people who really push me and vice versa. And once I let go of those things, I think the last 2 months when we've actually been spending a ton of time together again have been the most fun, because all of a sudden you're like, oh, like we don't have to figure this out tomorrow. And if we'd had that pressure for Instagram, we never would have done anything.
Wow.
Yeah. The next chapter, whatever it is, will be based on what we're most passionate about and the skills we have and what the world needs. If you take those three and intersect them, hopefully at the intersection is what we'll become. When you're inside of a large company that has grown from, 13 people at the acquisition to, we were probably over 1,000 towards the end, you get wired in a certain way to think a certain way and talk a certain way. And that unwiring takes a little bit. And for me, it probably took a good 6 months to really unwire, to realize that I had to, again, be a beginner again. I had to suck at stuff. When I had to install a piece of software and I couldn't figure it out, I had to call up Mike, and Mike had to be my tech support over Zoom. Like, and like that was thrilling, because I was like, man, I forgot how great it felt to be bad again. And moving through that, you start to realize that you're going to make mistakes and there are going to be false starts. But listen, you have no choice but to have a journey. Like, what am I going to do? I'm not going to sit on a beach. Although, yes, I was in Hawaii. Come on. But I'm not going to sit on a beach. Like, I'm too energetic. The world's too interesting. There are so many unsolved problems out in the world. That is the most motivating force in the entire world. And if you can do that with a partner that you trust,
yeah,
the world's your oyster.
Before we go, you know, the theme of this conference is kindness and collaboration. This was a collaboration. The two of you got together. What's amazing is we've done stories about businesses with co-founders and you know, they fall apart or the relationship breaks down. You guys are closer than ever. I mean, what is it about the other guy that works for you, Mike?
I think almost every interaction I have with Kev, I feel like makes me smarter and like pushes me in some interesting way. Like either something that, you know, I built that he looks at and is like, oh, could this be different? Or why did it work this way? I remember like early on at Instagram, we had like some outage and I fixed it and I was like, oh, it's fixed. And Kevin's like, yeah, but what happened? And I was like, I don't know. Does it matter? Like, it's fixed. And he's like, no, we need to understand. And it sounds simple, but actually that approach to like actually understanding the problem you're facing and really like understanding that the solution makes sense and not just taking things for granted is, I think, a pretty core part of your personality that I deeply appreciated, because I think it ended up pushing me to become a better engineer and a better leader. So I don't know. It's exciting to work with somebody that you just trust implicitly, which is a hard thing to quantify, but like there's very few people in the industry who I feel like have like the integrity and have been shown, you know, over now 10 years of working together. I'm like, yeah, like I trusted him to fly me in his plane, which I do not trust almost any other person.
It's a very long, bumpy flight, right. But it worked.
It worked.
Kevin, what about Mike?
I like that he'll come on a flight with me. No. So trust, I think, is number one, which is in this world, especially the business world, you never know who you can trust. But when someone's there with you in the trenches from day one, and you go through everything together, and I literally mean everything, when you go through really hard stuff, you grow super close together. And I don't connect with many people at that level, and Mike is on a very, very short list of people I connect with on that level. But maybe the final story I'll say here is, towards the end of Instagram, we took some personality tests because we were getting to like that level of management where we all wanted to know what everyone's personalities were and how we could work together. But listen, you guys are laughing, but it was really important, and here's why. It turned out that actually like all of our product managers that worked with me, because I was on the product side, all roughly had the same personality type, which I thought was kind of interesting. And then Mike had a slightly different personality type that on paper interacted very well with mine. Like it was almost like a yin and a yang. And that's the only way I can explain like succinctly my relationship with Mike, is that like if I'm a sprinter and I get really frustrated really quickly with a problem, Mike is the even-keeled, like happy leader who just, we'll get through it, Kev. And that yin and yang, I think, keeps you grounded and it keeps you moving. And fun fact, it turns out my wife has the exact same personality type as Mike.
It's a marriage.
It is.
It's a marriage. Kevin Systrom, Mike Krieger, co-founders of Instagram, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
That's Kevin Systrom and Mike Krieger, the co-founders of Instagram. They joined me live on stage at the 2019 How I Built This Summit, which happened in October at Yerba Buena Center for the Arts in San Francisco. We're going to be running more conversations from the summit on Thursdays through the new year. Next week, we've got Tariq Farid of Edible Arrangements. Thanks to Candace Lim, who produced this episode, and Ramtin Arablouei, who wrote the music. I'm Guy Raz, and you're listening to How I Built This. Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that saved Abercrombie, or which real tech acquisition is like Game of Thrones, or the one financial equation that can finally solve climate change? Then check out the Daily News podcast, The Best One Yet. Every morning on The Best One Yet, hosts Nick and Jack serve up to three of the most interesting business news stories and why you need to know them in just 20 minutes. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies, you're going for that promotion at work, or you just want to know the trends before your friends, be in the know this year by starting your morning with The Best One Yet every weekday. Follow The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free right now on Wondery Plus, and for more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts, with shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, Business Wars, and many more. Wondery means business.
Back in the 90s, Pepsi and Coca-Cola were in a heated race to try and win loyal customers by any means necessary. But when Pepsi launched an ambitious promotion that encouraged people to buy Pepsi and redeem points for prizes, they overlooked their own fine print in a major way. I'm Misha Brown, and I'm the host of Wondery's podcast, The Big Flop. Every week, guests join me to chronicle one of the biggest pop culture fails of all time. Like, who at Pepsi thought it would be a good idea to advertise that people could earn enough points to redeem a military jet as a prize? They never imagined somebody might actually try to snag it. But a 23-year-old did, and suddenly Pepsi owed him a jet. Follow The Big Flop on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Big Flop early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.